Matthew chapter 10 for a scripture reading today. This chapter concerns, of course, the commission, we might say, of these disciples into apostles. Jesus is speaking to them, and really what he has to say in many ways applies to all the church of Jesus Christ. So let's hear God's word. We'll begin our reading at verse 1. And when Jesus had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother; James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew the tax collector; James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecuted you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach in the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. May God bless to us the reading, hearing, and preaching of his word. I'm going to break out something here a little bit differently than the translators and editors of the New King James. They have verse 26 there kind of lumped together with some previous verses. I think that it goes better with verses 27 through 31 there. So let's read that again. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. You see why perhaps I've entitled this sermon, Don't Fear. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Don't be scared. We've all heard words like these before. We tend to hear them more as little children because little children tend to be more easily frightened than adults. But as children of God, we need to be hearing this as well from our Savior. He has been telling us, he's been telling these apostles of all the difficulty and all the opposition that they should be facing, and that this, I'm sure, did seem fearsome to them. It can often seem fearsome to us. When we anticipate trouble, when we anticipate danger, it can be scary. Once we've been through it a few times and we've seen God carry us through, it's not as difficult. And this is what Jesus is doing with these who had been only students of his, but are now specially sent out. That is what the apostles are. They have not been prepared, well, they have not faced these things. He is preparing them for what is to come. Now, children, many of you do not like, well, I don't know of a kid that doesn't. Many of you do not like shots. And if you know you're going to the doctor or you're going to a clinic or something for maybe, oh, I don't know, an immunization, or you're going because you need some sort of shot for some other sort of thing, it is a horrible thing to contemplate. You think of that big, big needle, and you think it's going to stick. And it's going to hurt. And the more you think about it, the scarier, the nastier it gets. And you get to the doctor and you're all worked up. And then you get the shot and it's like, oh, it wasn't so bad. It wasn't so bad. Especially when I was growing up, kids, the doctor I went to, the kid doctor I went to, the pediatrician, he had this nurse who was really good at sneaking up on kids. He had this big aquarium in his office. This is back in the late 1950s. You'd be watching a fish, and Nurse Carol would come up, and you're so intrigued with the fish, she'd do a quick dab of the alcohol, and bing, right in your arm. And you never even felt it. In fact, I can remember one time, kids, I had been so worked up over a shot, but I just got really interested in this fish. And the doctor said, you know, come on into the office, and I was getting all worked up. When's my shot? Oh, you had it already. What? What? Right. So I finally learned, especially children, when I had to have an operation when I was 15, I had to have my appendix out, and I had to have so many shots because of different things going on. They've not bothered me ever since. I don't have any problem with them. I was almost the human pincushion. But because of what I've seen and experienced with these needles, they don't bug me at all. Maybe you are bugged by them. Or maybe there are some things that I'm bugged by and it doesn't bother you. Well, when we know that people are going to lie about us, when we know that they're going to try to injure us, when we know they're going to try to kill us, like Jesus was talking about here, that's pretty scary. Jesus says in these verses we're going to look at three different times, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. So in verses 26 and 27, he says, don't fear persecution. Don't fear persecution. Once again, you children have heard that word before, but it means when people are bad to you, they act wickedly to you, they try to tell lies about you and harm your reputation. In fact, they may try to hurt or kill you. Why? Because you love Jesus and they hate him. That is what persecution is. And it seems scary, especially when, well, we can read more about it nowadays because of the internet. We read about horrible things that happen to people in other countries. Or we hear of not such horrible things, but bad enough in our own country and times. And we can be tempted to get scared, but we mustn't fear them. Jesus says, therefore, do not fear them. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. There are good reasons not to fear, despite all the alarming stuff that Jesus is talking about here. First of all, he tells them, and he tells us, don't fear the persecution itself. Nowadays, in our own country, by many people, and you can see this in the news, you can see this if you use anything like Facebook or Twitter or even Instagram, things like this, where Christians are called bigoted and hateful and horrible. They just hate everybody. We know this is not the case. We know this is not the case. But you see, sinners will try to destroy us in what ways they can. Right now, one of the main ways they can is by telling lies about us. We, in fact, may be called devils. They did that, as we saw last week, to Jesus, calling him the devil. There in verse 25, is it? Yeah, in verse 25, we saw that he was called the Lord of the Flies, the potentate of poop. Do you remember that? And if they call him disgusting names and say he's awful, they will do so for us as well. And we will be treated devilishly. Thankfully, that hasn't happened all that strongly in our own country, although people's businesses and livelihoods have been taken away for being consistent Christians. It's happened far worse in the history of the church. We saw some talk about, well, we heard some talk about that in our church history series, didn't we? Back during Roman times. And there have been other times when persecution of Christians has been horrible across the history of the church. And so it happens in varying degrees, even to horrible extents in our own, well, in our world today, in other countries. What is Jesus saying here to keep us from being afraid? Well, all the secret plots and all the lies that our persecutors bring about, they should be shown to be what they are. They won't be hidden anymore. They won't look anymore like they're good and they are tolerant and enlightened. They won't be seen as those who are trying to bring about social justice. They should be shown for what they really are: wretched and wicked sinners. And what about you who have been called terrible things? What about you who have quietly been doing good for the glory of God? Will all the quiet faithfulness and all the godly gentleness that you've been able to do shall be shown in the proper light. All the accusations against you will fall to the ground. All the plots against you shall be exposed, and all that is truth shall be brought to light. Therefore, you're to go ahead and boldly go on and preach the word. You are to go boldly on and live godly, as we see in verse 27 there. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. We are to be setting forth that which we have heard from Jesus. Now the apostles got to hear it directly from him. We get it from his written word, of course. And we're still to set it before the world, not fearing what might come of it. The apostles had to set out the truth. So do we. The apostles had to point people to him who is the truth. So do we. The gospel must go out. And God will make sure, Jesus will make sure, that we are vindicated. And as we shall see in a moment, we are protected. Secondly, don't just not fear the persecution. Don't fear the persecutors either. Don't fear them as well, because they can only do so much. They can only do so much. Verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You see, persecutors aren't only trying to destroy the gospel. They're trying to destroy Jesus. They're trying to destroy us who belong to Jesus. Naturally speaking, this is scary. And Jesus acknowledges this. He acknowledges the possibility that we could be killed. In fact, it's probability. It's probable for these apostles. In fact, it was almost inevitable. For these 12 apostles, well, first of all, one killed himself. That was Judas Iscariot. But of all the rest of the apostles, if we count Matthias, who was chosen afterward, and if we count Paul, and if all the traditions of the ancient church are correct, every single one of them, except John, was killed by persecutors in one way or another. Some of them in very, kindly ways, such as Paul, a Roman citizen. He had his head cut off. That's done properly, not much pain to it. Others in horrible sorts of ways. The tradition, well, I won't even go into them. You need not think of them, and they might give you little kids nightmares. But they were put to death in ways that were most painful. And even John, he was not put to death, but he was sent to a little island out in the middle of the sea, far away from everyone he knew, far away from everyone he loved, far away from anyone that he could speak to of Jesus. And he was on this little island when he died. Horrible things are done to believers. But Jesus tells them and us, don't fear. What? That's scary. No. He says, they can only kill your body. You can only, that's all that they can do. They can go up to a certain point, but that's it. And as he says later in verse 39 here, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Loss of life for Jesus' sake means eternal life. Now, how can we not be afraid? Well, we substitute a different kind of fear for this fear of the persecutors. And that's what Jesus is talking about in the second part of this verse here. Rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And so we need to have a proper godly fear toward the triune God. He is able to destroy body and soul. Now, what's that have to do with believers? Because aren't we saved from that? Indeed we are. But the point is that he is far stronger than the persecutors. And he will bring them to justice as well as preserving us. And that is brought out more fully, as I said here, in verse 39, which we'll look at more in weeks to come. But as we have our proper fear of God, as we have our proper reverence toward God, as we have our, we might say, respect toward God, and as we trust him, his promises, his covenant, his Savior, we will not fear what man can do to us, which we just sang about a few minutes ago in Psalm 27. But what about the pain? What about the agony? We have assurance in Scripture, friends, that the light afflictions that we suffer will truly be lightweight looking back from eternity. And they will be seen as momentary. Okay. It's like, once again, children with the shot. It just lasts a moment. It's soon gone. And then you go on with your day, right? Or you go on to get better. And it was worth it, wasn't it? Okay. Well, so it is here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I would point you there, and that's what I was kind of quoting from just a moment ago. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, Paul says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now there's a third thing Jesus says, don't be afraid of. We take that up in verses 29 through 31. "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than of many sparrows." Don't be afraid that God is going to abandon you. Now, people might. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to his crucifixion, was abandoned. His disciples all left him. Now, John and Peter kind of sneaked back later. But basically, he was abandoned. Nobody stood with him at his trial. He was all alone, humanly speaking. It's a scary thought when we are in trouble. There is no one there to help us. We've been left all alone. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of trial, it can feel that way very strongly, that we have been left alone. The devil may try to whisper in our ears, God doesn't care anymore. Or he may try to whisper to you, you know what? If you had been more godly in your thinking, if you hadn't said that thing you did, if you weren't such a horrible person in so many ways, and here you've pretended all this time to be a real Christian, fine Christian you are, this wouldn't happen to you. But God's fed up with you. He's thrown you away. Just give up. These are temptations that can come to those under persecution. Our own thoughts go that way. Demons will whisper in our ears. We can think we're all by ourselves. But Jesus now takes the time to reteach that which he'd already taught them, as well as many others, in the Sermon on the Mount some time back. Let's go back to chapter 6. I'm going to start reading in verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. See, here Jesus is teaching that God will take care of physical needs, like, well, food and clothing, pointing out that God directly cares for birds and for wildflowers. And so he picks back up on this here again. God takes care of these sparrows. Humanly speaking, they're not worth much. They're worth very little, and people don't think too highly of them. But every one of them only exists, only lives by God's will. He takes care of them. He is present with them down to their very little details. The same thing with your hairs. God has them all. Well, it's not like this is number 4,317 right here. And over here is number 10,011, something of that sort. But every one of them, every single hair, God knows about on your body, takes care of it in your body. It doesn't stay in your head or on your body, nor does it fall out except by his will. Down to the little details, God takes care of little birds and the hairs on you. He takes care of you too. Nothing can happen to you outside of his will. Outside of the will of one who loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son for you. Nothing happens to you except but will bless you. It is no punishment. For all punishment was taken by Jesus at the cross. It is discipline. It is making you more godly. It is making a greater weight of glory in you, on you, and through you, as Paul was talking about there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The ones whom Jesus and the Father know intimately. That's all of us who are in Jesus Christ. The ones upon whom they keep their eye. We saw that right here in verse 26. We saw it in Psalm 4 too. The ones whom they have sent, that is the apostles and all of us who have the commission. The ones who are their own sheep, that's us too, over whom the good shepherd looks. All of us shall know and receive the care and comfort that we need to persevere in preaching the gospel and in withstanding persecution and affliction. You will not be abandoned in your persecution. You will not be abandoned to your persecutors. You will not be abandoned to your own weakness and foolishness. You, believer, are sent. Not quite the same way as the apostles, but you are sent for His glory. You are loved. You are known. You are kept. And you are safe in Jesus as you take the gospel to all. That is the only safety we get, but it is all the safety that we need. May God enable us to trust Him and not to fear as we boldly show forth Jesus, as we show forth salvation in Him. Amen.